Well, I wonder if you'd turn back to those verses that we read in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew for the next few moments, and we'll draw some thoughts from those verses. So Christmas morning is the day where we want to meet together because we want to celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. That's why we're here today, isn't it? It's the most significant event in history. Our calendar is defined around the birth of our Saviour, the Son of God, that he should come down from his throne in glory, wonderfully, amazingly, into such a dark world, come from heaven's throne to the darkness of this world, and ultimately that terrible darkness of Calvary, where he suffered and paid the price for our sins. Throughout all of history, the result of the incarnation, the Son of God taking on a human form, taking on the form of a man. And that is an amazing thing, isn't it? That it changes people's lives. It changes people's lives that event happened. Mary's life was changed, wasn't it? The shepherds' lives was changed for the better. Think of the wise men, how their lives were changed. And then later, as we see the Lord's ministry, and as he goes around and preaches and heals people and teaches, we see his disciples, how their lives have changed. We see how those that he healed, the deaf, the lame, the blind, how they were changed. And then later on, people like the Apostle Paul as well. And we can think of many people's lives who were changed through the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one person, there's one man who is mentioned pretty much every Christmas in every reading that we have. And I'm not sure how often people consider Joseph, the man Joseph. Someone described him as the forgotten man of Christmas. But he was chosen for a very special purpose, wasn't he? He was chosen by God to do something very unique and very special, to be trusted by God with the infant child, the infant Son of God. That was what he was charged to do. He and his family, he and Mary, would have the responsibility and the blessing of the care of the infant Son of God. Well, as we look at that theme this morning around Joseph, how Joseph experienced the message of the gospel, I want to look at how it impacted him, his journey of obedience, and what we can learn from Joseph's experience regarding the birth of our Saviour. Well, the first thing we see when we think of Joseph is firstly, in the verses that we didn't actually read, the first part of chapter 1, the genealogy, we see in verses 1 to 17 that God is in control. God is in control of Joseph's family tree. Across these verses is approximately 2,000 years of history. 16 verses capture all of that. If you look at it, it's about 100 years per verse that is captured as you go through those passages. It goes across, and we're told, 42 generations from Abraham to Joseph. And there's three groups of 14 generations. Abraham to David, and then David to the Babylonian exile, and then the exile to Christ. A pattern of 3 times 14. And people will tell you, and you can work out there's meaning in that. But the angel reminds Joseph in his dream that he is actually Joseph, son of David. I wonder if anyone ever called Joseph up until that point son of David. Had anyone called him that before? But what was the significance of that? Well, the significance is that Jesus, being born into that family, is the legal heir to the throne of David. And this is the family tree of Israel's greatest king of history through the Old Testament, wasn't it? And a promise was made, a covenant was made as well, wasn't it? That from the line, this is the line that the Messiah would come from. In spite of all those ups and downs that we read of through the Old Testament history of how Israel was going up and down, those twists and turns. It almost looked at moments, didn't it, like a nation could disappear. But the promise of the Messiah, we know, would be fulfilled and is indeed fulfilled with the birth of Jesus into this line. From the beginning of time, God knew exactly what he was doing. From Genesis 3, from that first sin, when sin entered into this world, all the way through to this first chapter of Matthew, when what we're reading of today, God's plan is being fulfilled. God is in control. Some people like looking at family history, don't they? And generally, when you look at family history, you start with yourself. You look at your parents, you look at your grandparents, you look at your great-grandparents, and you work backwards, and you try and work out how far you can go back, can't you? But we don't see that here. We start with Abraham. God's plan starts with Abraham, and it unfolds from there, and it looks forward from there. That's not how you would work out your family history, is it? But that was God's plan being fulfilled. God has a plan. He knows what he is doing. And throughout all of those twists and turns, those highs and lows of Israel's history, that plan is stuck by. He holds firm to that plan, and salvation would be accomplished for God's people. And we can trust God from this when we look at that, and we can take comfort at the end of one year, at the start of another year, as we see difficult times, that God is in control. He is sovereign in all things, just as he was in this, in his plan for salvation. He is in control in all things. Well, the second thing that we see is, as we come to our verses that we read, is Joseph's dilemma. Joseph's dilemma. In verse 18, we learn that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. You can imagine Joseph being a very happy man, but then Joseph has a bombshell land on him, doesn't he? We might say he finds out that Mary is with child. To be betrothed was a bit more in those times than just being engaged. It was not married, but it was just short of that. It's almost like the legal part of the marriage vows had been taken, but they weren't fully married. Betrothal was something that might have lasted for around about a year. And it was legal. So the only way to get out of betrothal was through a divorce, in effect. So it was a bit more than just handing back an engagement ring if you were disappointed with your fiancé. A bit more than that. So he had to think about, what would he do? What would Joseph do? Would he, should he divorce Mary? Clearly, such action would be extremely difficult for him personally, for his family, within the community, and it would also have significant financial consequences. So what must Joseph have thought when he finds that Mary is with child? He must have been shaken to his core. He must have been absolutely feeling very let down. We have the benefit, don't we, of knowing the whole story. We have the benefit of reading the verses of Matthew's record, and we know a lot more than Joseph knew as he's going through this experience. But in verse 18, we're told she is with child from the Holy Spirit. But all Joseph knows initially is that there's a baby on the way, and he knows that he is not the father. He probably thought he knew Mary very, very well. He would probably say to himself, I didn't expect this of Mary. He's expecting the worst. All his human logic is arguing in his mind in terms of what has gone on. He's jumping to a conclusion. He undoubtedly believed she was a deeply spiritual young lady. He's probably saying, how could this possibly have happened? I thought I knew her so well. She's a pure woman. She's of good standing. How can this be? His thoughts, his hopes, his plans have all come crashing down. What he thought he had in front of him is all of a sudden not what he expected. What would his family say? Could he still trust Mary? All these things going through his mind. You can imagine them, can't you? He probably thought he was a good judge of character, but perhaps on reflection he thinks, perhaps I'm not as good as I thought I was. Can I dare trust anyone else again? Well, what we're seeing here as Joseph is going through these experiences is God is dealing with him. He's preparing him for a quite unique task, a great task. God the Father is preparing him to nurture his infant son of God. We might put it to be the foster father of the young infant, to be the carer of that young infant as he grows up, someone who the young Jesus could look to and be submissive to, as a child should be to a godly father, while still being obedient to his heavenly Father. Growing up, as Luke puts it in chapter 2, increasing in wisdom and stature and favour with God and man. Well, as we go on through the story, as we go on through the event, we see thirdly Joseph's obedience. In verse 19, we're told that Joseph is a just man. And as a just man, he's unwilling to put Mary to shame. So he resolves in his mind, he thinks he's going to divorce her quietly, privately, so it's not too embarrassing to avoid the public embarrassment of for himself and for Mary. Luke describes Joseph as a righteous man. The Bible definition of a righteous man is someone who belongs to God's covenant family and receives blessings and his love. So Joseph was a righteous man, but he was also, I would put it to you, a carefully considered man as well. He didn't act with haste. He is thinking and mulling this through in his mind, isn't he? And in verse 20, we're told he sleeps, perhaps goes to bed with a view, I need to sleep on it. Maybe things will look different in the morning. For whatever reason, something or someone is perhaps holding him back from divorcing Mary. He doesn't understand everything. His logic, his human brain, all his arguments in his head is telling him one thing. But he knows deep down that Mary is a righteous woman. She wouldn't commit adultery. He knew something there is holding him back. And it is, of course, God is restraining him until the next day when he would wake up with peace in his heart. When he wakes up, his dilemma is over. His nightmare is over. There are some things in the Bible where the Bible teaches us that are very black and white, very clear for us what we should and shouldn't do. But that's not always the case. Some things aren't always totally clear. And on those occasions, God guides his people. He guides us. Doors open, doors close. Sometimes something holds us back. And in such times, we can learn from Joseph that we can wait on the Lord, so the Lord will unfold his plans to us in a very special way as part of his plan for our lives. If God wants you in that place, if God wants you in that ministry, if he wants you in that relationships, trust God, he will make that happen. It's not beyond God. God, we see, has a plan for Joseph here. There's a plan for Joseph's life. And God has a plan for your life if you are his today, and what he wants from your for your service for him. Joseph's experience here was not of an angel visit, but a dream, of course. And in that dream, his concerns are taken away, and it's revealed to him that the child in Mary's womb was not a result of sin at all. And he's given the light that he so desperately needed in that critical moment, in that moment of crisis that he had. He needn't fear marrying Mary at all, which is what he now does in obedience to God. Well, fourthly then, Joseph's concerns are turned to abundant blessings, verses 20 to verses 23. In here, we'll see one concern and four blessings. One concern that Joseph has is removed, and then there are four blessings. The blessing to Joseph from God's revelation goes far beyond just removing that concern about Mary and the unborn child. God wonderfully more than satisfies that concern, builds on that, and floods him with blessings about what the birth of this child is all around, all about, in a most wonderful way. Firstly, we see the concern. The concern is removed completely. It is revealed to Joseph very clearly that that child that Mary is bearing is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. What a relief. Can you imagine Joseph's relief? She is, after all, the Mary that I thought she was. How wonderful. What a relief that must have been. She's a righteous woman. She is a righteous woman. I knew she was a righteous woman. The angel dismisses any element of doubt that Joseph had, any element of suspicion that he had in his mind. And then we come on to the blessings. The first of the blessings is that this baby that Mary is bearing, is carrying, is a very special baby. Look at verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Verse 23 is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the baby who Joseph is being charged by God to care for in those early years. He realizes this baby is going to be fully man. He's going to grow up as a man, as any baby would, but also he's going to be fully God, wonderfully. He might not fully understand that, but that's what he's told. That's what he believes, isn't it? He's going to be like no other baby, this world has ever seen. A human nature and a divine nature in one. How incredible is that? As any baby, he's going to be delicate. He's going to be vulnerable. He's going to need care and love. He's going to be kept safe. Jesus, we know, comes under would and does come under fierce attack from Herod. If we go on and read further on in the Christmas record, Joseph was needed to protect that infant Christ and Mary, his mother. The baby would have a deity, being the Son of God, which would bring attacks. Attacks from the evil one, wouldn't it? Attacks from people like Herod and others as he grows up. They would attack him, they would try to undermine him, and ultimately they will take him and attack him and take him to the cross of Calvary. In those young days, in those young years, when Jesus is young and an infant, he needs protection, he needs security, he needs a safe and a loving home. That's what Joseph's task, very special task that he is being given by God to do, to keep that infant Christ, the Son of God, safe. The next blessing is that his name will be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Joseph is blessed, isn't he, by being told the purpose of the incarnation. He would be a saviour to sinful men and women, people who find themselves in a hopeless state with sin that can't be dealt with, through any other way, through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus in saving his people from their sins. He's been told in that very personal way, in a first-hand way, the gospel, the promise of the gospel. How wonderful was that as a blessing when he understood that. He doesn't come to save all people. We're told here he only saves his people, his chosen ones, a special people, people who experience the grace and the mercy and the love of their Heavenly Father, an elect group of people that Jesus saves and Jesus builds his church around. The next blessing, the third blessing then, is that Joseph sees firsthand the fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Joseph, being a godly and a righteous man, we might assume knew the Old Testament scriptures and the promises of the Messiah. I wonder if in Joseph's mind would have gone to that passage, Isaiah 7, 4, chapter 7, verse 14. That's where verse 23 comes from, isn't it? When he woke from the dream, did his mind go to that? Did he suddenly think, Mary is that virgin. Mary is the fulfillment of that promise. She's my wife-to-be. Surely if he thought on that promise, he would have been amazed. He'd have been absolutely amazed how God would use him. He was only a carpenter. He wasn't anyone very particularly special. But he was key in the history of salvation for all mankind. I wonder if he realized and he marveled on that promise. Joseph has a significant part to play, doesn't he, in the fulfillment of prophecy, in the work of the gospel. And as such, he's compelled to take Mary to him as his wife, having a blessing and a responsibility. Finally, the fourth blessing is that Joseph has the blessing of Jesus in his life. He has the blessing of Jesus in his life. There are many years of Jesus' life that aren't recorded for us in Scripture. When you think of those years when he was growing up, very little said, isn't there, about what we know about Jesus. Some people call them the hidden years. But imagine for a moment, Joseph having the young Jesus in his home, working alongside him in his workshop when he's training him up to be a carpenter. In the family home, in the extended family home, having Jesus there, in the community. What would they have talked about in the workshop when he was learning his carpentry skills? What would they talk about in the home or in the place of worship when they came together and Jesus, the Son of God, is there? What insight would Joseph have had? It's quite incredible to think. And that's why this really is a blessing that Joseph has when he realizes these things. What a privilege that would have been. Joseph's life was now built around Jesus, wasn't it? That's not a burden, that's a privilege. That's what he would have realized. We can sometimes be guilty of thinking that in Jesus' early years, that wherever Joseph and Mary would have gone, Jesus would have followed as well, just as any normal child would follow their parents around as they went out, as they moved, as whatever they did, they would follow their parents. But really, if you think about it, it's the other way around here. You see, Jesus had to leave Bethlehem from Egypt, didn't he, for his safety. Joseph and Mary followed. Jesus had to return to Israel later, specifically Galilee, so he would grow up as a Nazarene and fulfill prophecy. Joseph and Mary had to follow as well. Having Jesus in his life changed all of Joseph's plans, very much changed his life. But wonderfully, as we closed. It's not just Joseph who gets the privilege and the blessing of having Jesus in their life. The good news is that the gospel and the birth of Christ is there for everyone. Each one of us can share in that blessing that Joseph knew. Joseph was willing to devote the rest of his life to Jesus. Are you? If you're not his today, are you willing to devote your life to Jesus? Sometimes, often, that means putting some of our plans on the back burner, putting them to one side. God's got a different plan for us, as he did for Joseph. Sometimes we can be called to do exactly that. When you follow in obedience, as Joseph did. This then is the Christ that we celebrate at Christmas, isn't it? This is the one we know through salvation. This is the one who shapes our life of faith, as he did for Joseph and so many others. As we close this year, we can ask ourselves, do we have a Jesus-shaped life this year, this Christmas? Well, we very much pray that we do. If you don't know him as your Saviour, we pray that you will indeed recognise Jesus for who he is, just as Joseph did. And if we do know Jesus, we just pray that we might rededicate our lives to his service as Joseph did. Amen.